1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Devil. And so anyway, I was talking this weekend to some friends of mine. I said, you know, we have a very young, hip show. We're number one.
Baby, let me tell you something.
You ever notice that I sound a little bit like Bob Hope when I go from way up here all the way down to here? Bob Hope used to do that. So we're young and we're hip. Unfortunately, I'm in my mid-40s. But I don't tell you that because I want to create the illusion. Now, the show's young and hip. And let me tell you something. Creating the illusion, it can be a bitch. I'll give an example. A few years ago, I started losing my hair. And, you know, because you'll lose your hair when you get to be in your 40s. Not only was I losing it on top of my head, by the way, I lost all my pubic hair and most of the hair for the crack of my ass. For which I'm thankful for that. The rest of it, I don't know. Anyway, I was losing my hair, so I hit upon an idea that I thought was phenomenal. What I would do is I would take the two remaining strands of hair that I have and paste them over the top of my head like Dick Van Patten. Because if I'm going to be a flaming asshole, I got to look like one. You know what I mean by flaming asshole is I'm always taking shots at people and talking about how nose picker they are, or how gay they are, whatever, you know. But I can't take the heat myself. So I decided if I'm going to have a young and hip show, then I've got to look young and hip. Now, I'm four eyes, okay, I've got glasses. So I look like a dumbass four eyes, and most of the time I'm wearing shades to try to make it look a little hipper, but the fact of the matter is I still look like a dumbass. I look like the Pillsbury Doughboy. So, that having been said, I've got to do something to try to hip my image up. So what I did was, I started pasting my hair over the top of my head. Now, I don't know whether I should stick it over there with saliva or paste it over there with glue or some other sticky substance.
And I think you guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Huh? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about.
Let's go to the phones.
Hello, Phil.
Hello, Gary.
How you doing?
Do you care?
I hope not only do I not care, I hope you step in front of a freaking bus when you walk out of there. How about that?
Okay. Well, what's on your mind?
Okay, Phil. You know you're talking about gluing your hair over?
Yes.
Well, this is really a great story, man. See, one time, my friend was over to my house, right? And, well, one thing led to another, and some of that stuff got on the top of my head. So you know what I did?
You mean like in Something About Mary?
You got it, man. I made it stick up. But see, I got hair. I'm not a bald-headed, over-the-hill asshole like you. So that's my only suggestion, and I wish all of your calls were as interesting as mine.
Boy, you don't know how much I wish that, too, Gary. Thanks for... You people listening on the internet, you just heard a good one, but we dumped it here. I sent him out with something, and it wasn't a bong hit, but it does start with a B. And it had to do with slurping. So that's my question. Should I glue it over
with glue, saliva, or something else that's sticky. And you know what I'm talking about. Take another call here. This is Terry. Hi, Terry. You're on the air.
Hello! Phil.
Hi, Terry. How you doing?
How you doing?
Do you care?
No.
What can I do for you?
Nothing.
So, well, that's what I'm talking about. Let me tell you something. We're number one. And we'll continue to be number one until we're number two. At which time we won't be number one anymore. But I can tell you this right now. We're number one. Number one with a bullet, baby. Now, I can tell you that we're number one, and you'll believe that we're number one, but the fact of the matter is, we're not really number one. But you keep believing it anyway. So how many of you people, give me a call here, 1-800-449-8686, how many of you people really believe that we're number one? As opposed to you who've got a college education and realize that I'm full of crap. How many of you people think I'm a ratings monster? And how many of you people know better? Got a call. Right, here's John. John on the car phone. Hi.
Hello! Hello.
Hi, John.
Yeah, you know, listen, Phil, I never bought that you're number one, okay? I mean, you can lay that crap on all the people you want. You're not number one. You never have been number one. You suck! You understand that?
Thank you very much, John.
Okay, man.
Said y'all with a bong hit. All right, so there you go. Not number one. Never have been number one. Never will be number one. What well, number four?
Are you going to talk about?
The other thing is, why don't I just spit it out instead of talking with all these long pauses? But do you want to know why?
I'll tell you why.
It's because I'm trying to make it to the break. Because I'm looking down at the phone bank and there aren't any calls there. So I stretch my comments out so I can make it to the commercial break. And that's how I do that. And when I get home at night, and I think about my listeners, you can all kiss my ass. As I think of you. But thanks for making me number four. At 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Ah, we kid around. Truth is, I love everybody in this business. I have great regard and great respect for everyone. And frankly, I think my show, I really honestly believe, I go home at night, I'm ready to slip my wrists. Just about every night that I go home, I'm ready to cut into, very deeply into my wrists, or the carotid artery, someplace where the blood will just a nice, good, rich, thick flow of blood. That's how I feel about this show. That's how I feel about my work. I want to commit suicide each and every night I get out of this place because there's always something that we did that sucked. You know it as well as I do. It's always something we did that was just too much, not enough, something wrong with the show. I got the worst attitude about my work than anybody. And, of course, you can't believe the people that are close to you. Don't believe, you know, like my wife, Maria. Oh, it was a great show today. It was nice. No, it wasn't. It sucked. That's the hell that I live. I might as well tell you. That's the hell that I live in. That's the hell that I live in. People think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Melissa, who, our resident sick mind, who writes for our show, she says, why do you feel that way? I don't know why I feel that way. I just do. I don't have a lot of confidence in what I do. I think it's too strange. I honestly, you want to know what my honest opinion is? I think what I do on the air is so freaking weird that the average person just doesn't get it. I think it sails over the head of about 80% of our audience. I think we're in big trouble. I think Premier made a big mistake syndicating this show. And I think every one of my affiliated stations that thank you for, you know, picking up the show, but I think you've made an even bigger mistake. Because this show can't possibly succeed. It's too much on the edge. It's too strange. I've had Hollywood producers, big shots, come in here and watch me. I had one guy, real smartass. I won't say his name. I won't say who he is, although I'd love to. He sits here one night not too long ago. Oh, this is weird. This was his reading on my on what I do. Yeah, well, you know something? You produce some pretty weird crap. I don't want to even go into pardon my language, the stuff you produce. But you know what? He had a right to his opinion, and he was basically verbalizing what I've always felt. It's very, very weird. And I just, only time will tell, man. Only time's going to tell. I mean, we've had success, but here we are, an afternoon drive in Los Angeles, early evenings on the Pacific Coast, on the East Coast, I should say. And it's a whole new audience, and it's a larger cum, and only time will tell if what I do is going to be a successful enterprise. I don't do a traditional blend of news talk. I never will. That's just all there is to that, and it ain't going to get any better, and I'm sorry. And you know what? If you're looking for that, be my guest. Get out of here. I'm not going to change what I've done for the last 10 years because somebody called the radio station and said that they don't like it. Do you honestly believe that that's how it works? It doesn't work that way. You know that. Of course you do. But you do have a point when you say you don't like it, because most of the time, I don't like it. Because I have absolutely no confidence in what I do. I have a disease that a lot of successful men and women have. Maybe you know this. I'm being very honest. Of course, you probably think I'm doing shtick. I'm not. This is what it is. It's a weird thing. And you have to live the life to know. You think sooner or later somebody's going to find out just how much you really suck and you'll be out of your job. Like, since we got moved up to afternoons in L.A. and to an earlier time slot, I sit there sometimes when I'm going home and I think, you know, pretty soon they'll figure out this is a big mistake. They shouldn't have done it. Just, it's a natural thing. I'm told that it's a very normal way to think. It's not very healthy, but it's apparently a lot of successful people think that way. What am I doing here? I'm sitting here, I'm running down I might as well self-flagellate. I just spent 15 minutes doing it to somebody else. I might as well pay my penance now because I shouldn't have done that. So let me just go ahead and beat myself up here. I don't know. Oh man, I've wandered into some. I'm in an area here that I shouldn't be. I'm talking about stuff, you know. I'm actually talking about things that I shouldn't be talking about. I mean, I guess I shouldn't. I don't know whether I should. Maybe I should. But that's the way that goes. You see, I have to talk about my father on the air. He died 13 years ago, and he really messed his life up. So I have tried to succeed where he failed. And in other words, it's like Hamlet, you know, the ghost of your father, haunted. That's me. And I suppose my life, does anybody really want to hear this? They don't want to hear this. No, I don't. All right, okay. He was a failure. And so I fight not only for myself, but also for him. And that'll probably give me a heart attack, but that's okay. Taylor sits across from me. He says, well, just put somebody else in the chair. I don't care. You know, as long as they get the body out of here before the next break. But I will. It'll probably give me some kind of a tumor, you know, some cancer, because I have to fight for his failure and make his life better. It's not enough for me to carry my own life. I have to carry his, too. Well, you're on your own now, Dad. I've made my decision. After the pool's in, then I'm not going to do anything else that has anything to do with your life. Okay? I have the four kids. I'm putting in the pool. What else do you want? I'm going through the same hell that you went through, only where you blew it, I am going to succeed. Where you blew it, where you lost your family, you lost your job, you lost your bank account, you lost everything, I will not. I will succeed. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to dance on your grave? Of course not. I shouldn't even be talking this way. Should not even be a factor in my life. And yet, there it is. You'll find out. Both of you guys will figure it out. Where's your old man? Still around? And yours is too. You know, I hate to say it, but sooner or later, you got to put them in the ground. Happened to me. It's going to happen to you guys. And when you do, don't you carry their life with you. Look at Schaefer's in there. What an asshole. He's, you know, putting some more stuff up his nose. He's just having some. I'm kidding around. He's in there just. Oh, God. Ooh. God damn, what is that stuff, man? It's got glass in it. Like cut glass. I'm screwing around. Shay, I've never seen the guy do it. I've never seen him do it. I'm joking. No, if Schaefer's more of it, he's a Mick like me. He drinks. But that's the whole deal. So, my old man can rot, which I think he did about 13 years ago, frankly. No, he was cremated. That's right. The stuff I put up with from you. You're cremated, we spread your ashes at sea, and then some of them blow back onto my pant leg. I had to whisk you off. I had to whisk, you know, get out of here. Get out of here, man. Go. Your ghost is no longer welcome in my life. It's my life, and I'm going to screw it up every way I want. I can see Schaefer standing at our affiliate map, taking pins out now. He's taking them out. He was putting them in as the show started. Now he's pulling them out. First one that's going is that Centerville, Indiana pin. Just, you know, okay, there's one that's gone. Anchorage, Jesus, I don't think we were ever on the air there. Pull that out, if you don't mind me saying. Anyway, so that's the Phil Hendry Show. So that's what I put up with, you know, and that's it. We're still on an Anchorage, as far as we know. And that's the hell that I live on. It. So we do the show the way we do, and it's, you know, it's always been a problem that I've had that I never wanted to be like anybody else. I always wanted to be very different. And as a result, what that does is it drives you to be different, and sometimes that may take precedence over relatability, perhaps. I don't know. But there's one thing that you will never be able to accuse me of, and I'm very proud of that, and that's stealing other people's material or ripping off somebody else's act. I don't do that. So the end result is we do this show that's highly unique, difficult for some people to understand, and most probably will be, you know, copied by radio personalities for years to come after I'm dead and rotting and moldering in the ground. And my son is saying, die, will you? The pool's in. I've got the four kids. Die! I'm going to make one of those kids guilty and responsible for my life. Just one of them. There's three boys. I don't need them. How about Catherine? How about I do that to her? Phil Hendry Show here. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry show, 1-800-449-8686. But if we got a good call, we'll take it, but we haven't got any so far. Probably it'll change. Something's got to give. Something will change. I'm sure we'll get a good call here before 7 o'clock. If not, we've got some Barry White. I've been promised the Barry White music to send us out here tonight. So it's just gone from the sublime to, well, you know what. And look at Craig staring at me. He says, you know, you told me we could play Foo Fighters, you lying sack. And now we're bringing Barry White in here to, Barry White's okay, you know. What's wrong with that? It's, you know, one thing about the 70s, I'll say this. Where did you, just because I lived through it, okay? Where did they ever get the idea that the only musical influence and the only significant cultural statement of the 70s was disco? I lived through the whole 70s. I never went to any disco. I didn't listen to no disco. It was all rock and roll. It was rock and roll from the beginning of the decade all the way to the end. I didn't have any platform shoes, nor did I know anybody that wore platform shoes. If I did know anybody that wore platform shoes, then I wouldn't know nobody with platform shoes because they would be they'd be unborn. Never happened, okay? And that's the revisionist thing that goes on with history, especially with film and books and, well, the 70s, that was disco. And everything you see having to do with that decade, I'm telling you, I was listening to rock and roll. It was Southern rock was the predominant musical statement of the 70s. And it wasn't very good, and it was some of it was pretty ponderous, especially once you got past Lynyrd Skynyrd, it was downright, and the Allman Brothers, it was downright horrible. It was terrible. Barefoot, and that Charlie Daniels band, but the fact of the matter was that rock and roll did exist, and there was, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. The Almonds first, then Skynyrd, and then what else? Dire Straits, and then it was, occasionally there'd be some band, Pink Floyd. Marie and I the other night, she made a drink, and I don't want to tell you what goes into it, but let's just say we were sitting very quiet for a long period of time, and she put on Dark Side of the Moon. And we listened to this. We sat outside, and it was a beautiful night. The stars were just phenomenal. You know, we live in a canyon. There it is. There's Dark Side of the Moon. And we live in a canyon. And so the stars were kind of, you know, the mountains, it's black, and then you see the stars kind of shoot out from there. We live away from the city a little bit, so at night, I mean, it's a pretty spectacular sight. And she went and she got her little Dark Side of the Moon CD, which is like her all-time favorite freaking record that was ever made. And she put it on, and I hadn't listened to the album for years, I mean, straight through. And I listened to Dark Side of the Moon. I said, you know, I looked at her in my haze, and I said, this is really what that whole decade was about. This is what I was listening to. And Frampton Comes Alive, you know, and that. She goes, exactly. I said, where did they ever get the idea that the predominant musical taste of the decade was disco music? That was very, very much a minority. It was very much an urban thing, if you don't mind me using the term. Very much in the big city. Didn't get a lot of radio play. And it was not this significant. It was not this tsunami of culture that everybody thought it was. This was it here, Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd and the rest of that crap. And I say crap with a great deal of respect, and I can't remember half of it, you know. And no, I wasn't stoned or drunk through the entire decade, not most of it anyway. I remember the stuff that was being played then. A lot of it was Floyd. Some of it was what else? Craig don't know. He was too much of a kid. He wasn't even born yet. He remembers being sat on his daddy's knee in a haze of pot smoke while they were getting the dog stoned. And there's Craig sitting there getting a contact high, and he's in a diaper, and he's feeling no pain. And, you know, he figures that this is the way it's going to start. It can only get better. I can't remember. Dire Straits, and then Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart was huge. Zeppelin was huge. And the Cars. And Elvis Costello. And Elvis Costello had like 2-3 years there where the guy was enormous. 70s, yeah, especially the late 70s, but even the early 70s, James Taylor, Carole King, Cream was gone. Eric Clapton, though. And The Who had come out with that other album, Who's Next. Well, Who's Next, but then what was the other thing that they did? Who Are You? So, you know, make a long story short, that was the stuff that was going on, and I wasn't listening to no stinking disco music. And yet, when people say the 70s, that's all they talk about. And it just wasn't so, guys. You can just leave it to me, I can tell you, because I know many of you weren't even around and could care. But I just, you know, for historical purposes, just a historical high note, it wasn't going on that way. Studio 54 was in one city, and it was only one corner in one city in one little part of the world. And maybe New York, but nowhere else. Not that I don't mind that. I you know, the music's fine. I can listen to it, but it's you know, that disco Saturday night they have on K-Big? It's my wife. Every time I get into a car with her, if it's a Saturday night, you got to flip that thing on. And here we go again. With the Cheryl Lynn and whatever. So that was the stuff that somebody else was listening to, not me. And all I remember is I had a whole lot of hair, a big-ass beard, and I looked like I was straight out of, like, some swampy-looking gas bar in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. I looked like more of a redneck then than ever before. You had to. By the way, a friend of mine, his BMW broke down on the freeway today. What a piece of crap thing. He's had it for a year. Brand spanking new Beamer. You guys ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Where is it written that I can't say something about a product that does not perform properly? Where is it written? I talked about Sears. I had a sponsor bail on me. I had a radio station bail on me. Both those stations in Hawaii are gone because I talked about Sears. It ain't going to stop. Now I got a friend of mine bought a brand spanking new BMW, Bavarian Motor Works. That new one. What is it, Craig? What's the new sports car? What's it called?
The Z?
Nah, it might have been the Z. Freaking thing, the engine seized up on him this morning, out on the freeway. M3, I'm sorry, it was the M3. Engine, that's inexcusable. That's for a Beamer? You mean he's supposed to put oil in it? Well, why didn't somebody say something to him? Well, that's just flat wrong. So then they sent him out of the lot and they said, oh, by the way, Mr. Hall, you might want to put some oil in that. Oh, really? Come on! So a year later, I guess it's pretty good that the engine ran on, it was David, yeah. So I guess I have an apology to make here. BMW, you make one hell of an engine, man. It went a whole year on no oil. Wow. Is that him? David, I...
What are you doing? Giving out personal information?
No, I was talking about when you told me...
What are you doing giving out personal information?
Because you told me that your car...
Yeah, I told you that my car seized up on the freeway. And now you're giving this out on the air. I happen to program the best talk station in the world. All right? I don't need advice from you. And I sure don't need you telling everybody what a dumbass I am not putting oil in my car.
Well, did you?
Of course I did.
I...
You what?
I'm sorry.
You know something, Phil? I don't want it. You can talk about anybody. Don't you ever talk about me. Never, ever talk about me on the air. Now, my car seized up out on the freeway because it malfunctioned somehow, not because I'm too stupid to put oil in it. You understand me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Don't you ever talk about me on the air again. Do you know what? Let me ask you something. Do you know that BMW is an advertiser on this station?
No, I did not.
No, you did not. You just opened up your mouth about Beamer.
Beamer, huh?
Yeah, that's what people who own them call them. Beamers.
It's a good car.
You're goddamn right. You call it BMW. I call it Beamer.
All right, I'm sorry.
In fact, you call it Bavarian Motor Works. You don't even get to call it BMW.
I truly apologize. I know it's a good car.
Yeah, but that didn't stop you from making a big-ass joke out of me, making me look like a fool. I don't like it, Phil. Don't do it. I don't like you getting on my radio station saying, hey, everybody, David Hall is a dumbass. He didn't put oil in his car.
I was making a joke.
Well, don't make those kinds of jokes.
I just figured if you can joke about the president, that
you can joke about the president, you can joke about the first lady. Don't joke about me.
All right. I
need to talk to you after the show.
David, I'm really sorry.
I need to talk to you after the show.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Show. I was watching the Masters yesterday on TV. It's a golf tournament. And I noticed that they've got white caddies now. And so they finally have been able to integrate that course. That's great. All right. That's fantastic. Give those white kids a chance, too, all right, to carry a bag around. All those black guys had all that fun. They've finally integrated Augusta National, beautiful Augusta National down there with the dogwoods. And the beautiful smell of the perfume and the beehive hairdo and the ladies and the gallery and Chris Schenkel and John McKay or whatever the hell his name is. Oh, that's the guy that coached USC? I mean, Jim McKay. Question, is he still alive? I hope he is. Brilliant, wonderful reporter. Is Jim McKay alive? He is. Okay, thanks. I don't know. Because he used to be doing all that stuff, or is that CBS? I know that they bounced Gary McCord out of that tournament because he made the big mistake of using one of those Piccolo Pete's at one of the tournaments or something. He was blowing one of those slide whistles. And they take themselves, you know, their stuff doesn't smell down there. They take themselves so seriously at that golf tournament. Anyway, I'm watching this thing, and I saw all them whiteys out there carrying the bags. And I remember the good old days when they used to have the black caddies lining up and singing, I'm going down to Dixie. They do something like barbershop quartet or like a gospel thing. Whatever happened to those good old days? So then I saw the guy who won that, Vijay Singh, and he's been on the tour for quite some time, hasn't he? But I just didn't notice just how dark he was until yesterday, winning that tournament. Maybe it was something about Augusta. Do you think it's burning anybody down there that he had a couple of dark guys, I wouldn't say necessarily black, but let's just say darker than the norm, win that tournament like two out of the last 4 years? Boy, things are changing down there. And they'd probably be the first guys to tell me, Hendry, come on, man, get off that kick because we've been with the program for a long time. All right, I understand. I lived in Atlanta, great town, but I ain't talking about Atlanta. I'm talking about Augusta. But they all still wear the same monkey suit down there. Those caddy suits, you know, the little white jumpsuit. But all of a sudden, because I'd been seeing that Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, something, I don't know what I'd been watching, all the caddies were black, and I said, Jesus, there's a white guy there. They have made some strides. And now, who's going to make the crack about curry or something? Now, when Tiger Woods won that thing, didn't they make a joke about chicken and watermelon? And now Vijay Singh has won this. He's from India, or was it Sri Lanka? Where's he from? Fiji? Oh, more watermelon jokes then. Or something. What, tropical fruit? What are they going to be doing? Like a sorbet gag? It's from Fiji. I don't know. Whatever they eat there, they eat there. But he's Fiji, but he's Indian. I understand that. Okay. Shaved ice gags is what they'll be doing. What are we having? Shaved ice? And papaya? Who said that? That Fuzzy Zeller? What a moron. I mean, a good golfer, but a little bit of a social retard. A little lame, you know, not the great forward thinker that I am. At least the guy gets out and lives his life. I'm still sitting on my can waiting for that hole in the ground to materialize. And I'm letting my wife go out by herself tonight to some bigwig rock and roll record party promoted by none other than Clive Davis. My wife will be alone at a party tonight with all those hot shot, good looking. All those guys look like Roy Laughlin. Beautiful hair, beautiful teeth, beautiful smiles. Well, there's a little bit of a tanning salon skin, but that's okay. She'll be talking to NSYNC, and they'll be saying things like, geez, so you're 30, go 35? What? Oh, four children. Holy Christ. The guy's from NSYNC. And she'll be rapping with Rod Stewart, and that probably will be the beginning of the end of my marriage. And, you know, it's just they'll all be hitting on her. All four guys from NSYNC hitting on my wife. You see, if they don't, I think I'll be insulted. That's the problem. In other words, I want you guys to hit on my wife. If you don't hit on my wife, if you guys don't hit on my wife, then I'm going to have to. And I'll be asleep. Anyway, I was saying about the 70s. Nobody listened to disco. This album did not sell.
ICS.